You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
Well, hi, y'all. Can y'all hear me? Oh, I'm a little nervous, but thank you, Dr. Catterson and Mrs. Catterson, for inviting me today to share my God with you. And I'll let you in on a new secret, little secret. I think we have another grandchild on the way. Yes, we're excited about that. Life is good and great and God is awesome, but it hasn't always been like that. Our parents divorced when I was young, and my brothers and sisters and I were placed in the custody of my dad. But my dad couldn't take care of us, and my mom couldn't because she had married young and couldn't provide. So we were placed in an orphanage for a few years. And now I serve on the board of an orphanage in Kenya. Is that not our God? I mean, to go through that and then bring you full circle to be able to minister to those. But, you know, I didn't know what a dad was like because he kind of disappeared after that. It wasn't until I met my Heavenly Father that I found out what a dad was really like. That he would always be there for me. That I could trust him. That he would never leave my side. That he would love me with that everlasting love. There wasn't anything I could do or say that he wasn't there. That I could trust him with everything. You know, your family, your friends, they will leave you. But our God, he will never leave you. He's got you in his hands always. Well, when our daughter, Candace, was 19 months old, she had open heart surgery. And David's dad at the same time was dying from cancer upstairs in the hospital. And the minute our daughter was wheeled into the operating room, he died. But my God, my daddy God was there. And he saw it through us through that. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Isaiah 43:1-3. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you cast through the waters, I will be there with you. When you cast through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Well, the waters did get rough, and the fire did get hot. But God, that's one of my favorite words in the Bible. My pastor, Sandy, and I, we always wrestle over whose it is, but my God. But God can only do what he did. Because you see, 6 days before Christmas in 1993, my world was shattered and changed forever. The kids were out on Christmas vacation. Our oldest son, Sean, had asked to have some young men spend the night at our house. They were outside shooting baskets and in the driveway. And they came in to get a drink of water, and as they did, four men came in right behind them with a ski mask on and guns and said, "This is a robbery. Get down on the floor." They proceeded to ransack our house, and as we laid on the floor, there was all of us, me and David and the kids, and the friend who was there for the first time to spend the night. As I was down on the floor, I can't tell you, Dorothy, if I cried. Miss Dorothy, I can't. But I knew my God was there. This was a nightmare that I couldn't process, and I just wanted to wake up now. I had my son on one side, my dog on the other side, and the children on down to Dave. As I laid there, the dog began to growl, and He was the friendliest dog ever. I mean, he wouldn't hurt anybody, but he knew something was wrong. So this man hollered, "Shut the dog up or I will kill him." And, of course, those weren't his exact words. He had a few other choice words. So as I looked over to my son, who was on my side, to assure him that everything was going to be okay, that was the last thing I remember. I had been shot point blank in the face with a 12-gauge shotgun. The whole lower right side—the whole lower right side of my face was just blown off. There was no bone, no tissue, no teeth. My eardrum had been blown out. My eyeball, the orbital floor was shattered, and the doctor said he was surprised I could see at all out of that eye because it was just sitting in the swelling. And I said, no, my eyeball was in the hands of my Father God. He had it. He was protecting it. I remember the first time I went to my dentist, I jokingly said to her, now, I should get half Christ, right? Because I only have half my teeth and not so much. It's worth a try, though. But it rocked my world. What Satan, the source of all evil, not this man, but what Satan had intended for evil, God would use for good. That man tried to take my life that night, but it wasn't his to take. Because I belonged to God. I was his little girl. Well, maybe not so little at the time, but... So being his little girl, he did what any loving father would do. He grabbed me up into his loving arms, and he cared for me. He knew this was going to happen. There's nothing that happens in our life that doesn't first go through God or he allows. Somehow I felt with assurance, confident assurance, that my Abba Father was there, and he was in control of this mess. He had to be. So I decided, okay, God, let me just glorify and honor you through this. Looking back, I can see his fingerprints throughout our life with things that had happened as he prepared me for just this day. With the people that he placed in our life, the events. I mean, we were living in Houston where one of the guest trauma centers in the world is. With the guest doctors. When we moved from our home church in Bel Air out to Careland, there was a very special lady in our life, Miss Terry Keir. She was placed there by God to prepare me and teach me that my God could be trusted with everything and anything that happened in our life, to have faith in God's word. No matter what the circumstances look like, our God, he's good all the time. He loves us. His love endures forever. Well, her daughter, Jennifer, at the time we knew she was in nursing school, and we hadn't seen her for like 8 years or so. But guess what? She was now a doctor, doing her rotation at that center that I was brought into. And she happened to be working with one of the guest doctors in his field. And he was the doctor that I needed to put me back together. Now, some people might say that's luck or coincidence, but I say that's God. That was my Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. My God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus. Oh, and did I mention that doctor's name? Emmanuel. Well, listen, it's God with us. He was telling me, I'm here and I've got this. I've got you. Fear not, for I'm with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will hold you up. That's in Isaiah 41. I will always be there with you. Always, even to the end of the ages. He will never take you somewhere that he hasn't already equipped you to handle. if you belong to him. Well, I was in Bintang for 3 days before they realized if I would survive. Once David found out that I would, he was told that I had to be moved over to Hungan and find doctors to put me back together. Bless his heart. He barely knew what day it was, or let alone what doctors I would need. But God knew. He knew. He was right there by our side, and he supplied Jennifer. That was the name of my friend's doctor. And she was put there by God to help David assemble this team. I need to stop here for a minute and just brag on my husband. This beautiful, wonderful man. The man God knew I would need, who could look at me with God's eyes and see me for me and not for what I looked like. He was my biggest encourager when I was sad. He made me laugh. When I was down, he'd lift me up. He always attended my kitty parties, Miss Dorothy, always. Boy, I got good at those kitty parties. He would always listen to me and remind me who I belonged to. I didn't have to worry about what I said because he knew what was in my heart and that my God was there. He prayed day and night for me. He prayed, Lord, just don't take her. I will take her with the hole in her face. Just don't take her home yet. Leave her with me. This is my husband, David, chosen by God for just me. Well, Miss Dorothy, that's one prayer I'm glad God didn't fully answer. He didn't leave me with that hole in my face, but he's done a pretty good job. Amen? Well, after they assembled that team of doctors, it was time for surgery, the major reconstruction of all of it. I had three teams of doctors, and one team, Dr. Roach, who put the bone back in and assembled all that, he came to David and he said, he actually followed me over, came looking for me from Bintang, I guess because he had been witnessing something he couldn't explain, because he had said that he had been to Vietnam and seen injuries like this and no one ever survived. And he was interested in being on the team. And I looked, you know, later on he said, I've never seen anything like that. I said, Jesus loves me, this I know, you know. Well, he'd be the one to replace the jaw. And that, what he did, then the other teams could follow up and be able to do what they needed to do. But he came to David and he said, David, I don't know how much we can do. He was kind of a big man with big hands, Dr. Patterson. And he said, I've been in there. I've had my hands all in her face. There's nothing in there to attach this bone to. So I don't know how much we're going to be able to do. But until we get in there, I just don't know. We may not be able to do anything. And David just looked at him and said, don't be surprised. She belongs to God, and he knows. He's in charge. Well, it took about 15 hours, and Dr. Roach was one of the first doctors to come out, and he looked David in the face, and he said, you're not going to believe this. We got in there. You know, he kind of had this freak. You know how you're excited about something but kind of freaked out at the same time? Well, that was him. He said, you're not going to believe this. When I got in there, there was half an inch of bone. Don't know where it came from, but we were able to do what we needed to do. And we are 2 months ahead of schedule in her reconstruction because of that. I say that's God. That's my God. Hallelujah, Dr. Patterson. I mean, it just gets me so excited. You know, I could break out in a song, and they let me sing in the choir, but I can't sing. But he's mighty. He's awesome. He's wonderful. He's our Redeemer, Healer, our Savior. He's He's God that's able to do exceedingly more than we expect. Always. Well, as you know, I was healing on the outside, but God saw that I needed healing on the inside too. He began to show me that it was time for me to get down on my own, because things were happening. Feelings were coming up. You know, so he wanted to cook me down to deal with some of this. You know, picture that your grandchildren or your children that you have in your arms and you're trying to cook down, and their feet come up and they're like, no, well, that was me. I was like, no, Lord, no. I had been hurt so badly and unjustly. I'd had 80-something surgeries by now. Countless sleepless nights, a lot of pain and fear, a lot of anger and bitterness. I began to think about this man all the time. What I wanted to happen to him. I hated him. Hate was drawn inside me. And that anger led to bitterness. You know, I read how bitterness is like taking poison and expecting someone else to die from it. Well, I know a woman didn't write that, because we know that would happen. Right, ladies? You know, I had an opportunity to meet a lot of people that had been through a lot and had a lot of bitterness in their heart. And bitterness is very destructive. It will destroy you. It will do nothing to the person you're bitter at. It won't change your situation, but it will change you. It's that gift that keeps on giving. Well, I began to question God and wonder why. And it's almost as if I could feel Satan jump up on my shoulder, because he has no greater agenda at that point to start to convince me that God was not good, that God could not be trusted. Look what he let happen to you. He was trying to get me to doubt God. Well, I knew I couldn't go down that path. I decided, okay, God, I don't understand the why. I don't know why this had to happen to me or how this fits into your plan. But you're God and I will trust you. We had a history. He took care of my daughter. He took care of my son. He was in a bad dirt bike accident and he didn't lose his life. He lost a kidney, but he didn't lose his life. So I knew I could trust my God. He'd been faithful. And why wouldn't I? John 3:16 says that, for God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I mean, he was nailed to the cross for me. He died. But whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All of a sudden, it was the whosoever. The whosoever. You know, people say this to me all the time. I could never go through something you're going through. And I thought, well, I couldn't either. But my God, Christ in me is how I did it. His grace is sufficient in everything, every time. Every one of us. It was time to choose. Did I really trust God? Do I really believe the Word of God and His promises that I'd been reading and studying? Do I believe all things work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose? Will I choose Christ, have faith, and honor my God? Or will I choose to doubt God and lose faith and live a life of despair? Well, I made the choice and God began to make the changes. Oh boy, here comes the Holy Spirit. I turn on the TV and someone would be speaking, don't remember who it was, but it was the Holy Spirit talking to me on forgiveness. I thought, really? Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Forgive as your Father has forgiven you. If you forgive man, when they sinned against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive man their sins, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. I thought, right. You have no idea what this man did to me. I hate him. He made me angry. I was unrecognizable. But then Jesus, on the cross, was brought before me. And what they had done to him, he knew. There isn't anything he doesn't know. There isn't anything he hasn't gone through. Even this. He hung on that cross, beaten, unrecognizable. Well, we went to trial, and the first trial ended in a mistrial. Angry. Told you I had a lot of anger. Confusion. I remember driving home that day, very upset, and just having one of those pity parties, and I was crying out to God. I mean, a river. How could this happen? God, why did you let this happen? Are you still there? Lord. And there was a song on the radio, I kid you not, and it was by Twyla Paris and Bruce Carroll, and it went like this: I'm still here. I'm still here. No, you have not been abandoned. Though you can't see through your tears, I'm still here. Of course he's still here. He never left. Lo, I'm with you always. Now, Dr. Catterson, last time I looked up always, it meant always. I will never, never means never forsake you. Never, ever. He is Father God, our Redeemer. He's faithful. He's the faithful one. Well, God knew we did not have enough to go to trial and get a guilty verdict. And I wish I could tell you about how God blew that wide open. But you'll just have to read the book. No, sorry, there's no book. Just kidding. When we got home that day, well, we went back to trial and there was a guilty verdict. And when we got home from trial that day, there was a double rainbow in our backyard. I can still see it to this day. Every color was as vivid as it was just beautiful. And it was a promise from God. And he was saying, everything is going to be okay. And I'm still in control. Of all things, all the time, no matter what. Well, we had to go back for sentencing, and they told me at that time that I would be able to address him with a victim's impact statement. And if you don't know what that is, that's when you go back and you're allowed to tell this person how he's impacted your life and what he's done to you and your loved ones and yada yada. And I thought, yes, I can do this. I can let him have it. I am woman, hear me roar. I have plenty to say. You know us women, there's nothing like a woman wrong. I just wanted to spew hate in him. But God, he said, no. No, Stephanie, all I want you to do is to forgive him. No, I don't. I won't. I don't want to. God, really? He doesn't deserve it. The minute those words came out of my mouth, the cross was brought before me. And he said, neither do you. He said, no one deserves that. No one can do anything to deserve what my son has already done for you on the cross. It is by grace you have been saved. Through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift from God. For all is sin and falls short of the glory of God. And I continue, how shall I say, to plead with God, and the Holy Spirit kept reminding me. Romans 12:19. Do not take revenge, my friend, but leave room for God. It is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. He was saying to me, I got this. I will take care of this. Romans 12:17. Do not repay evil with evil, but be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. Romans 10:13, whosoever, there's that whosoever, calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You don't mean him. We don't get to choose the whosoever. Romans 12:14-21, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. And this, Dr. Patterson, I think my God could end just for me to get over this hump. In doing so, you will reap burning coals on his head. Yes. Thank you, God. Do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, Lord. We serve a patient God. He's not going to let go till you get it. Thank you, God. But just to be sure, I had to go and call my friend, Mrs. Keir. And I began to tell her that the trial was over and that I was going to be given the opportunity to address him. And before I could continue to say what God was showing me, she stopped me. And she said, well, I can just see her now. She's in heaven with the Lord right now. Got that hand on that hip. She said, well, I guess there's only one thing left for you to do. And I thought she was going to tell me something different, but she said, and that's, you know, you need to forgive him. So I closed my eyes out of gratitude and affirmation. God always affirms what he's telling you to do. If I want God to forgive me, and I do, then I had to forgive this man. But I thought, Lord, I can't. And he said, no, but I can. And that's how you overcome evil with good. That's how you give God all the glory and you sock it to Satan. Just like that. So because I love the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, and out of obedience to God and enact my will, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I forgave this man. And no, I didn't feel like it. It's not about feelings. It's about obedience to God and what he's done for you. I thank God that he saved me. And he did that for me. So by doing this, I've now released this man into the hands of God, leaving him into the judgments and mercies of God. It's hard doing God's job, isn't it, Dr. Patterson? We women, we try, but it's hard. By keeping hatred out of my heart, perhaps love could make it into his. If he repents and calls on the Lord, he will be saved. He's in the whosoever. Well, God was glorified and honored that day, and that's all I prayed for throughout this whole mess, was that he would be glorified and honored. He made the front page of the Houston Chronicle the next day, Dr. Patterson. Only God could do that. He will turn every single thing in your life for his good. Even these painful, hurtful, horrible things. So don't demand explanations. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. He's faithful to you. His ways aren't our ways. They're not always easy, but I have learned they are always the best. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just trust him. He's faithful and true, and he's always got your best interests at heart. He's always got your back. Would I have liked to have learned that God could be trusted and was faithful and sovereign in a less painful way? Sure, I would have. But I never would have experienced the love and mercy, his grace, and the way the Word became alive to me. And for that, I'm thankful, even through this. Thank you for letting me share this with you. And give God all the glory and praise. Thank you, Dr. Patterson. Mrs. Patterson, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.